Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Smartcast. You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint. I am Nasreen Sultana. You are listening to All Things Markets, where I speak to experts analyzing the big trends moving the stock markets. Indian equities are ending 2021 with over 20% gains, outperforming other peers in emerging markets. Despite the brutal second wave of COVID and rising inflation, markets hit record highs multiple times during the year, led by factors such as decline in COVID cases in the second half of the year, a significant pickup in the pace of vaccination, and the consequent sharp recovery in economic activities. But now, as we head into 2022, world's major central banks have started prioritizing inflation control over growth acceleration. So, will liquidity tapering by global central banks in 2022 puncture the super rally in Indian markets? What are the big market trends to watch out in 2022? What are the key risks? To discuss that, I'm joined by Dhananjay Sinha, MD and Chief Strategist, JM Financial Institutional Securities. Hi, Dhananjay. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, good to be on the show, Nasreen. Yeah, this is the last week of the year, so I think there will be a lot of questions in terms of outlook and stuff and how things have gone by.
Yes,
with your questions.
Yes, we are starting, we are almost in the mid of the last trading week, and what a year it was. A lot of turbulence, both in terms of markets and, of course, the virus that has been haunting, investors worldwide. So if I have to ask you, how do you sum up Indian markets' performance in 2021?
So I think, as we all know, the benchmark index indices actually would be giving about 20% or 21% return over last year closing, and this was almost this was also after almost like 80% bounce from the COVID lows. So I think it has been a phenomenal ride from the bottom, and so that is the overall the way markets behave. I think if you look at the components, there are a certain important trends that we sort of noticed. It's basically dominated by, a couple of things that we noticed is that it is dominated by global-oriented sectors. On the one hand, so you have metals, which rebounded by almost like 70%. It rose even higher somewhere around, I think it peaked around August or somewhere there. But on a net basis, it is about, 96%. Technology has done, has outperformed with a 51% growth. And we have seen even there were expectations of growth coming back, capex happening, etc., which has been dormant for several years. So the cap goods index has also risen by 38%. An expectation of revival manufacturing sector, real estate sector also did well. It has been also dominant even if you look at period before the COVID, it has bounced back almost like 50%. There has been a good performance for PSU sectors, largely from the oil sector and the PSU banks. Those have actually done well. And I think lastly, what has done well is also the mid-cap and small-cap indices, which have risen by almost like 40%. And these are higher than the Nifty performance. So I think there are a whole host of global and domestic sectors which have actually done better than the benchmark index. And I would say what has not done well is essentially the core themes in India, which basically is around themes that are around domestic consumption, both with respect to FMCG staples and durables and discretionary autos, etc., has not really done well. So this is one glaring underperformance. And also another glaring underperformance has been the performance of the private sector banks, notwithstanding the fact that they have been gaining market share in terms of business growth. They have been growing lending more than the systemic level. The systemic level growth in terms of bank lending has been till now about 7%, fairly anemic, whereas the private sector banks have been much higher. Many of them are in mid double digits. So there has been sort of a glaring underperformance there as well, whereas the PSU banks have actually done phenomenally well. So I would say broadly, these are the key trends that we noticed.
So post-pandemic, of course, equity as an asset class have been outperforming. Do you draw comfort that, gold or rupee or any other competing asset class, we also have newer asset classes that have emerged post-pandemic? Even then, equities have actually got the most higher allocation of money across the world, not only India. And of course, India has beaten emerging market peers. Right. Do you draw comfort from there that 2022 is likely going to replicate or was going to be even better?
So the way I look at it is that incrementally, the performance for next year is going to be a challenge. Because if you look at 2008, post the GFC, but prior to the GFC until 2019, that is the period before the COVID, the average return in Nifty was about 7% on an annual basis. So if you look at the performance since the COVID, it has been phenomenally higher than the average, and we are expecting that the performance likely to be very flat or range bound in 2022. And that's largely because we believe that the macro factors that were driving valuations since the pandemic are ebbing. So that's largely in the domain of global excess liquidity, which was driving down the risk-free rate, and that elevating the valuations much more than what we have seen in the past. So there was a significant support there. So in 2022 and years after that, we see those factors actually normalizing. We are also expecting there will be a certain amount of ebbing of growth momentum as well. So it's quite likely that next year is going to be a fairly flattish kind of a scenario for the global equities, and also from an India standpoint, which has actually performed very well, and there are concerns on valuations. Yeah,
right. What, according to you, would be key risks and challenges that may derail the Indian market super rally? I understand probably the easy money is going to start drying up, but besides that, what do you think would be challenges?
I think the biggest concern for the market would be the global liquidity and the risk-free rate, and I would say within that, if you look at from an India standpoint, it will be the FII flows. Up until now, what we have seen is that because of the monetary expansion in the developed market, especially the US and Europe, the FII flows till March of this year, if you look at the FY21 data, it was almost like $36 billion. Then it has become very sporadic. I would say on average, there has been an outflow from equities. Portfolio flows has been kind of flattish kind of a scenario. So what we think is that while that was happening, I think we also ran current account surplus because of the slowdown, etc., and hence we saw a significant rise in the reserve balance of the RBI. That rose by almost like $140-150 billion. That infused a lot of liquidity in the system. Plus, you had a lot of liquidity emerging from domestic central bank as well. In RBI, actually infused a lot of liquidity through various mechanisms to help the financial system, which is banking and NBFCs. So that translated into very large liquidity. So what we are the core thing that we are basically expecting next year is that as the normalization in monetary policies in US and Europe happens, especially in US, there will be outflow as far as the portfolio flow is concerned. So the risk largely emanates from a sort of a steeper than expected normalization in quantitative easing of the US Fed rate hikes. They have already announced that they will, they're projected 3 rate hikes this year. It could be more. And I think other central banks also adopting similar strategy. So I think that is the biggest risk from a market standpoint, because not only would the FI flows become negative, it is also possible that the other components of the capital capital account might also sort of diminish. So I think the big risk is basically the drying out of the liquidity, and that impacting the valuation. Mm-hmm. The other risk essentially comes from the fact that, you know, the growth part, which has been fairly robust, if you notice, the year-on-year growth generally is expected in India about 9% for FY22 and 8.1% next year, 0.2% next year. What we are noticing is that global trade is also sort of flattening after a 26% rebound from the pandemic lows. Now, so that has been a very important driver for India's growth. We are seeing a slowdown in China, and possibly there will be some slowdown in the market. So the risk essentially is that we will have a slower growth in emerging markets, including India. Terminal growth rate for India could be about 4 or 5, around 5%. So while average may look like 9% and 8.9 or 9% this year, next year 8.2%, the terminal growth rates in the last quarters could be about 4.5-5%. So if you have a scenario where global liquidity is normalizing and your growth is actually decelerating towards the end of the each of these 2 years, then the risk on can be twin. One is on the liquidity, the other one could be on the growth side. So I think these are the two major risks that one should actually look at.
Right. And of course, we have the impending COVID crisis, and few of the countries are already facing a possible lockdown. But besides COVID, do you also think that inflation could be a risk? Because most of the central banks have kind of acknowledged that maybe inflation is not transitory, as Fed had mentioned earlier. And in India also, we have seen the way commodity prices have actually increase the input prices for a lot of companies, and earnings have been impacted. So overall, do you think inflation to be a very big risk for equities?
So I think the reason why the normalization is happening is because there is a change in assessment that the inflation in developed markets, especially the US, is actually not transient as it was thought. There is a sort of a more enduring shortage in labor supply. The supply chain issues are lingering. As a result of that, the core inflation has been elevated. So I think the whole liquidity thing that we're looking at essentially is driven by higher than expected inflation. And from an India stand, I think what one is expecting is that. Up until now, what has happened is that there has been a shift in the demand side from the unorganized sector to the organized sector, and companies have actually gained a lot of cash flow because of that. And especially with respect to steel and commodity sectors, there has been a good realization because of high inflation. But you see, the domestic private consumption demand has actually been subpar, and there is a significant gap there. What we expect next year is that the private consumption, especially with respect to the urban areas, might actually sort of improve. There is a lot of push from banks by way of cheap retail lending. It's possible that as consumption picks up and the backlog of high commodity prices in this cost might start permeating into higher output prices going forward. So we already have core inflation, which is above 6%, and has averaged above 6% over the last, I would say, 6 odd months or more. And the upside risk is definitely there as consumption demand starts to improve. So So we are expecting that core inflation could go up to something like 6.5-7%, and RBI will also will need to initiate rate hikes starting from the second quarter and alongside what happens globally. So I think from India's standpoint as well, I would say that the upside risk to inflation is definitely there. The downside risk can happen if for instance, global supply chain is better than expected and there is a sort of a correction in commodity prices, etc. But then, you know, I would say that the impact of that could be much lesser because right now what we are seeing is that the larger companies are actually having larger pricing power because of the shift in the demand from unorganized to organized sector companies. And hence, I would say that the pass-through of backlog of rising cost onto the output prices is going to be higher. So I think the risk on inflation is definitely there. And hence, RBI's actions are also required. And RBI has already articulated that it is also adopting a normalization strategy for excess liquidity that we have in India.
That's right. See, in 21, the quarter's earnings results were, more or less in line for most of the sectors, except for the consumer-focused companies like auto. But mostly it was in line, and at times it was better than expected. And that, of course, was fueling the market's momentum, the market's rally. Now that you are also talking about the inflation that may hit consumer demand and, of course, the supply chain disruption, which I have seen in many sectors, do you think, and of course, the interest rate hike, if at all that comes in, do you think in a scenario as such, earnings may take a hit in maybe 2022 or in maybe next fiscal?
I would say yes. So the thing is, the key concern that I have is that much of the impetus from global trade and global fiscal expansion and stimulus etc. will start ebbing next year. So there's going to be a fiscal drag next year. From India's standpoint, I would say that the contribution of global trade and the contribution of global stimulus etc. Running through the global trade channel has been very strong. So, that might start sort of, the momentum can actually start slackening there. Secondly, I would say Indian government spending and support from a consumption standpoint has been fairly modest. I would say compared to the pre-COVID level, the government consumption spending has been around 8-9%. And net of the WPI inflation, which is in double digit, the real spending has been actually negative. So we are seeing that government of India is actually getting more conservative on the spending rate. If you look at the high frequency data, monthly data of the government of India, and state governments are tackling tighter revenue situation, I think the support from the government standpoint could be lesser. So I would say some of the driving factors to growth might actually start impacting the revenues next year and hence also the earnings performance. So the upside can happen if the private companies, the organized sector starts employing more people, give more compensation sector, and that drives consumption. So the private sector impetus becomes much more important. How strong that will be, we'll have to see. As you mentioned, there will be a sort of inflationary concern which can impact that. And also, I would say, the increase in rates that can happen. So I think these two factors can impact the private sector. But overall context, if you look at the key drivers of demand and hence also the earnings may actually start slackening. So today, if you look at the consensus earnings for Nifty, people are expecting, I would say, roughly about 30% growth this year and next year on average, and maybe 20% the following year. I think these are very optimistic numbers. These might need to sort of be calibrated going forward.
Right. So in this context, how do you see the valuations of Indian markets? And this is one factor that we can't have a conversation without, because last year, you know, this year, in the last few months, we have seen a lot of global brokerages have raised concerns about the steep valuations that Indian markets have been trading. And this is despite the earnings revival that we saw in September quarter and the previous quarter as well. So are you also concerned about the steep valuations that India is currently, and your way forward for next year?
Yeah, so I think we have been talking about the valuation, steep valuations, since I would say October of this year. So the way to really look at, so we've done a global comparison for Nifty, for instance, and we find that across something like 27 major indices that we looked at, the average price to book valuation was about 1.9 times, whereas India was about 3.2 times. So it's fairly expensive. Also, versus the last 5-year average, the price to book is at least 25% higher. And I think what we found, we have been repeatedly saying for the last few months, is that India is the second most expensive market after the US. And that's largely attributable to the fact that we've had a good performance in terms of the rebound, of the index, and so that is what it is. So I think you might actually see the thing is the valuation is very susceptible to global liquidity, and we found that over the last 7-8 years the sensitivity to earnings growth is much lesser compared to the global excess liquidity. So the explanatory power of global excess liquidity is almost like 80% for valuations in India versus earnings, which has hardly any elasticity. So I would say that the other thing is that if you have a sort of a contraction in excess liquidity, which is measured as money supply to GDP in the US, if that comes down, it has got a sort of a lagged impact for another 10 to 12 months. So I would say more than rate hikes in the US, I think the reduction in the money supply relative to GDP through the quantitative easing, and also subsequently due to reduction in the balance sheet by the Fed eventually, it will have a lingering impact on the valuations in India. So I think the valuation trajectory is going to be fairly suppressed going forward. I think the markets are going to be largely driven by individual stocks and sectors, and how we sort of look at various cycles and how things are placed around it. So I would say initially you might have volatility, but I would say we'll have to really look at those sectors and stocks and companies that can actually deliver better top line growth, and they are facing good monopolistic situation to protect their margins and profitability. And I would say, quasi-monopoly or strong pricing power will be a very important variable to really look at going forward.
Okay. See, after pandemic, we have actually seen a lot of companies and funds sharpening their focus of investment towards sustainability. So in this context, which sectors do you think will be watched out in 2022?
Sustainability means sustainable earnings. That's what you're saying?
No, I'm talking about sustainability in terms of environment. The ESG norms that most companies are focusing on, many companies are hiving off their companies or focusing into only a certain kind of fuel. I'm not naming companies, but a lot of companies have announced a lot of changes in their investment strategies.
Yes, that is there. I think that is why, if you look at it, technology stocks are preferred. So if you look at it, IT sector has been a major outperformer. But I think I would not entirely believe that people have done that, because if you look at the other spaces such as energy, and if you look at metals, which is again very energy intensive and carbon intensive, those have actually done really well. So I think what markets have actually shunned essentially are the sectors or stocks that have not participated in the upcycle, or they have not benefited in the recovery cycle over the last 18 months. So I think it's not very clear that it's not a very clear verdict that that investment funds have actually focused, or investors in general have focused a lot on ESG. And I think from an India standpoint, and also maybe global, I would say retail investors are also very important, are dominant part of the market. So they may not really be as much sort of concerned about the ESG norms, etc. Well, I think these two, one is the fact that, you know, it's not really demonstrated in terms of how stocks and sectors have performed. And also the fact that the mix of the investors have also been shifting, both in the developed markets and emerging markets. And we are definitely seeing that in the Indian context, where HNI and large investors and retail investors are much larger, or significantly larger participant than what we saw, let's say, prior to 2017 or thereabout. So I'm not too sure. But I think from an institutional standpoint, there are funds that are ESG, sort of guided by ESG norms, etc. And I think within that, I think technology does look well. I think even a lot of these auto companies that are actually moving towards electric vehicles, etc., are also seeing traction. So those are the things that I would say one can consider within the sustainability thing.
All right. Dhananjay, on that note, thanks a lot for sharing your outlook for next year. And thank you so much for sharing your time. And we wish you a very happy new year, and take care of your health.
Happy new year to you as well. And thank you for getting me on the show.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
For feedback, you can write to me at nasreen.s@lifemint.com. Or you can reach out to me on Twitter at Nasreen Story. You can also reach out to us at HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And to listen to more podcasts like this, you need to log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.